Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
Of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's our joy to have you with us in this beautiful night, Saturday, of the year of our Lord 2021. And this is Usama Dakdak with you from the state of Wisconsin, Wild Rose. That's where I'll be speaking tomorrow's free session at a church here in Wild Rose. If you're interested, you can call me, or actually I'll give you the address a little bit later in our show tonight. So if you are close to Wild Rose, Wisconsin, love to see you tomorrow. And with us tonight, as usual, our producer and the best co-host, Christy Johnson from Mississippi. And hello, Christy, and how are you?
Well, Usama, I'm doing very well, been very busy, and of course, as you know, been seeing a lot of rain, but thankfully we're not seeing any serious major hurricanes like they did in Louisiana about a week, 2 weeks ago. So keep praying for people who are still without power in Louisiana. And I'm thankful for one thing, and that is the people in the South know how to help each other. And many Christian organizations that come out to help during these times and minister to people are so appreciated. So I just want to say thank you, because I know that it was the Christian groups that helped us when we got hit so bad with Katrina. And thank the Lord for people who love him and do the work of meeting the needs of others, even when the others are not Christians, you know?
Sure.
But they come out and meet the needs of people in the name of Jesus Christ. That's real important.
Not just doing good works for no reason, but a glass of water in the Lord's name, and that makes a huge difference. So I'm thankful, obviously, and that is the perfect time for Christians to show up and do work and help and reach out. And I know actually some friends from North Carolina who are on their way right now to come to down there to help the people, and many people as well. By the way, Grace Bible Church, that's where I'll be speaking tomorrow, Grace Bible Church, that's 610 Cary Avenue, Wild Rose, Wisconsin. And we're going to have three sessions, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, and 12:30. 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, and 12:30. I hope and I pray, if anybody is close by, would love to join us tomorrow, please come and let me know that you're there. So I would love to shake your hand if you are close to Wild Rose, Wisconsin. All right,
okay,
Christy,
is that what, Usama, stop. Please, say the name again. Is that Wild Rose?
Yes, two words, Wild Rose, like the
okay,
Wild Rose.
It sounds like. I couldn't understand if it was Rose or Rhodes or
Rose,
Wild Rose. I got you. Good.
Amen, sister. You got it. So look forward to see anybody near us here. I would love to see somebody show up tomorrow and shake my hand in the church. That'll be awesome. But in the meantime, before we even start, because I'm going to forget, last week it was a tough week for me. I want to, in a word, apologize to the wonderful audience of ours. And I know we got lots of people who listen to us during the week, and maybe people for the first time, they hear me mad, they hear me angry. But I believe it is, I call holy anger or holy jealousy, whatever you want to call it. I'm just, I was so mad, Christy, from early morning until late at night. This is the worst September 11th for me. I mean, this is the number 20th. And it is, to me, is the worstest. And I'm not going to give any excuse for why I was upset, why I was angry. I was just sick, emotionally, physically, spiritually. I was tired. I was exhausted. And when I saw what the liberals are doing in this country and what this old Biden did to end 20 years of war, to end trillions of dollars of money wasted, as I said earlier, 20 years ago. This is nothing new to me. I said it 20 years ago when Bush went to this war. I said it's waste of blood and money. 45 or so, 100 American soldiers lost their life, lost the hundreds and hundreds of, and then the thousands who lost arm and legs and injured badly, plus all those who came to our home, both physically okay, but mentally are not okay. All this was wasted because we went to Afghanistan to get rid of Taliban, and we ended making Taliban the greatest army in the Islamic empire from the days of Muhammad until today, leaving them to take over the country of Pakistan with $90 billion of weapons. And that's why I was so sick. So I apologize once again for all the people who heard me in not in a very good Christian mood, but I will lead you to the passage in the Bible when Jesus did not look like this loving, peaceful prophet or messenger or teacher, as the Son of God who saw the house of prayer turned into a den of thieves. And he cleansed it with physical movement, with rope, and his soldiers who are the disciples of Jesus, for the first and the last I've ever seen them physically help the Lord to clean up the temple of the Lord, to be back again away, a place of worship. And I'm not saying that I'm Jesus. I'm not saying that I was repeating what Jesus did. I just saw the jealousy in the Lord's heart when he saw the house of prayer, the house of worship, turning to a market, and a bunch of thieves are stealing and take advantage of the people who are going to worship in Jerusalem. So we put this aside, and when you hear me, once again, when you hear me say, you stupid Americans, I'm not talking to you who knows the truth, because trust me, if you have listened to me more than once, two or three times, you are not stupid anymore. I can no longer call you stupid, because at least you came back to hear me for the second or the third, or some of you, for how many years, Christy, have been doing that show?
A long time. I don't know how many years. 14 or more. I don't know. 14, I think.
It's 15 years. Whatever.
Okay,
15.
So,
we're still on the 14th. It doesn't matter. So if you hang around me all these years, that means you love me. And you take the negative and the positive of me, and you pray for the positive that the Lord will increase it, and the negative for the Lord to decrease it, that I will be better minister, better servant, better brother, and better father, and better uncle to anyone who will listen to me, who would like to have me as a close friend. I appreciate you, and I love you for your faithfulness, for being with us all these years, and for the new one, please be patient. And hopefully, prayerfully, you will get to know my heart and know why I did what I did last week. Anyway, so Christy,
I don't have a problem if you're talking about stupid policies, stupid decisions, and even some people within the administration, you could say that. But I really think what the anger is not about ignorant Americans who don't know what's going on. It's about evil people running our government. Evil. Not everybody is evil up in the administration. Some people are just stupid, as you said, but there's a lot of evil going on. And many of the things that are happening, they're not accidental. They're deliberate. And it's costing American lives and Christian lives. And so, yes, I understand why you're angry. I am too. In fact, I'll share something with you, and then I want to tell you we have a caller. So, caller, hang on. We'll get to you just a second. But in the church service that I went to Sunday, many people got up, including one man who is active military, and just confessed that they were angry, that they were very, very angry Sunday. This is right after you and I did our show Saturday. There's a lot of anger going around, and I do understand it. But as we said, the fruit of the Spirit is not anger, right? we have to really ask the Lord to help us overcome when we have that anger in us and channel it to something productive, you know? All right. Thank you, Usama. Caller, are you ready for a caller? This is early to get a caller on, but maybe they got something important to say.
Absolutely. My joy. My joy.
Okay, caller, the last three numbers of your phone are 224. And I've got you on the air with us live. Can I ask your name or a name?
Oh, my name is Deborah Colbert.
Deborah? Okay. You don't have to give me more than just one name, Deborah. But thank you for calling in. And go ahead with your comment or question.
Oh, I guess I'm a new caller, and I was calling because I thought at 9 o'clock this was a live pray, and I'm brand new to this, to this station, or I guess to this line.
Mm-hmm.
My comment, am I live? I don't even know what this is, but I guess I'm a pastor. I'm a licensed therapist. And I think I feel like we're just, well, I'm in Minnesota, and it feels like we're under such a dark cloud of evil, and we're Minnesota nice. We're Minnesota nice, but it's not nice. It's not. It's like you feel like the lifeblood slowly is being drained out of you if you listen to just the normal news. And you talk to your adult children, and they don't want to talk about anything except nice.
Wow. Well, go ahead.
Christians, but I think there's, there's the New World Order, and then there's the bride, the remnant, and there's such a division coming that's.
Well, Deborah, we're gonna pray with you, and you know, anytime that someone wants prayer, we're certainly happy to oblige. I'm sure Usama agrees with me. But, Deborah, I know exactly what you're talking about. This is a very
It is such a difficult time. I am just, I've had 13 surgeries in the last 8 years. I was a professor at a grad school. I was a licensed therapist running many, many clients a day. And then because of all of these surgeries, I was temporarily taken out of, it's like you lose your job, you lose sort of you lose everything, and then you almost lose your life physically. It's okay because you learn that it's just about loving Jesus and being loved by Jesus. And it's not about anything you own. It's not about any titles. It's not about any job descriptions. It's not about any schooling or any, I have met two master's degrees, licenses. It's not about any of that. It's not about any money or properties. It's just about loving and being loved. And I'm right now re-entering back into the professional field. But people are in such fear right now. I've never seen such incredible fear. And people won't even look into people's eyes. And the lockdowns. And the further lockdowns. And the fear of COVID. And the fear of getting COVID. And the fear of taking the vaccine. And the fear of not taking the vaccine. And the fear of people coming close to people who have been vaxxed, and the people of the vaxxed people coming close to the people not vaxxed. I mean, it is the most incredible demonic evil I've ever experienced. And I'm 67, and I just never really thought I would live to see this day. And I am really a warrior. I'm really a Deborah, and I want to go down fighting. I don't think I'm one that would ever retire and just go sit on the beaches of Florida and, you know, live my life out in retirement. And I'm a warrior woman, but I don't even know how to re-enter the fight.
If you don't mind, before we play for our dear sister, yes, I was in Minnesota twice, just last week and 3 weeks ago, if you guys remember when I was in St. Cloud. And Minnesota.
And I know Shyam Hadian very well. In fact, I hosted him here in the cities a couple of years ago and sat under of his teachings and believe totally in what's going on with all of that. So yeah. I'm sorry, and I won't interrupt you again.
No, that's okay. Minnesota is one of the weird cities, weird state with all the cities within it. I believe the devil picked up that state to give to the Muslims. And as I see how the governor of your state is an evil man who just desires to destroy America through his state. I mean, we cannot bring Muslim Somali to the state of Florida, but the Muslim, when they come from Somalia to Minnesota as a refugees, then there is no way you can stop them from leaving Minnesota and move to any other state. Now we got thousands of them in Florida after they first come to Minnesota. So it's like the devil is using that governor, Minnesota, as a backdoor to bring the thousands and the hundreds of thousands of Muslims to spread all over America. And these are not Muslims. These are Shabab Muslims. And I don't know if there's any power in any governor in America to remove people from coming to his state if they already have the status legally to be in America as refugee or whatever. So I know what it is to be in Minnesota. I go to Walmart, Rochester, just 3 days ago, and Walmart is loaded with Muslims. So I got some materials, booklets, and we use to minister to Muslim people. In 5-10 days I was there, and I ministered to the Muslim Somali at Walmart and everywhere else I meet them. And the lady quickly speaking to me to tell everybody, these are missionaries. These are missionaries. Run away from him. Run away from him. This is like, what is that?
And God loves the Muslim people. He loves them. Yeah. But they're very hard to reach because they're because they're taught to be apart from us, and they're very hard to reach.
And we have enough people to show to the American people and the world that Muslim Somali in America do not like America. They hate America. They don't like our constitution. They prefer Islamic law, visa law, the land, and on and on. But anyway, so I know what it is, how it feels like to live in Minnesota or to be in Minnesota. I come to Minnesota a couple, 3 times every year to speak in different places in this land. But let's pray. Let's pray for my dear sister. Everybody in the who are listening by the phone, those who are online, listening by the internet, those who are in the chat room, let's lift up our dear sister in prayer. Lift up the state of Minnesota in prayer. Lift up the entire country of the United States of America, because the whole world is in turmoil. No kidding.
The whole world is in turmoil. The country is in turmoil. And much of it started, and I preached down at a little mission in South Minneapolis, just about a mile from where George Floyd died. And it's very tumultuous down there. It's very tumultuous.
Let's pray. And Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We give thanks to you because you are an awesome God. You are the God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Nothing takes you by surprise. So many of us, Lord, are shocked because of what's happening in America today and what's happening in Minnesota and different places around the world with Corona and with Islam, with the horrible, horrible decision made by those who stole this country for the devil to destroy it. That's exactly what they are. But we know, Lord Jesus, that you are in control. You are in charge. You are not taking any of these things by surprise because you know it. Even any normal people will come from life since they can see this is coming to America. But We pray, Lord, for the believers. We pray for our dear sister to be the salt and the light. It's getting dark, and we need light. And the world does not have any more taste, nothing to preserve life in this world. And we needed the salt in the believers today, that they will not be just talk, they will not be just prayer, but they will be action. Help us, Lord Jesus, as the down in the south with the hurricane, Ida and other hurricane going through the land there, Lord, and the crisis is coming. And what a great opportunity for us, the believers, to stand firm, to stand strong in our faith, to focus our eyes on you. Peter was about to drown, even though he was still walking, simply because he looked around and he did not focus on you. Help us, Lord Jesus, to learn from the faults of Peter and others. Help us even to learn from our own faults, from our sins in which we have committed the best, that we will be more faithful in our walk with you, in our belief in you, in our trust in you, that no matter what's happening around us, no matter how high the waves or how big the wind, we will focus our eyes, especially, Lord, our spiritual eyes on you, that we know that you have strength we need, you have the power we need, and if you are with us, who can be against us? Who can stand against us? No power whatsoever. Not the devil, not the liberals, not the Muslims, nobody. So help us, Lord, to be found faithful in loving you, knowing you, serving you, ministering to the lost through you, that they will come to know the reason for the joy and the peace we have. Sometimes, Lord, we get frustrated. We get struggled. We get worried, which is another sin. You ordered us not to be worried, to help us to be what you call us to be, soldiers, men and women of God who serve you, who fear you, who love you. We lift again our dear sister to your throne, that you will continue to bring her the joy and the peace. You are the healer for her body, no matter how many weakness physically we have or surgery or sickness. You can say the word and we are completely healed because we believe in you. And you are able to do more than we think, more than we ask. You just give us the faith, Lord, even the small faith of the mustard seed, and we will be, by that little faith, move mountain for your glory and for your to be glorified in our life, Lord. We love you and we praise you, and we thank you for this wonderful sister. She came to be with us tonight, and I pray, Lord, that she will continue to be back with us and to share what the Lord will be doing in our life. We love you and praise you. It is in Christ's holy name alone. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank
you. Amen.
Thank you. God bless.
Yeah.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Before you go, Deborah, I do want to mention something to you. I have your phone number. And perhaps if it is okay with you, I will give you a call. I just wanted to tell you, you have a lot in common with me. I worked as a social worker, counselor, Christian counselor. I'm seeing and experiencing a lot of the things that you talked about as well. But I also do a ministry called End Times in America. And perhaps
okay.
We can talk about that at a future time if that's okay.
I would really like you to call me.
That all right.
Be, yes, I believe this is a divine phone call. I have no idea how this all happened. And, yes, I would really appreciate if you would call me.
Okay, Deborah, and my name is Christy Johnson, so I will give you
Thank
a call,
you,
and I'll be calling from area code 228, and I'll get in touch with you in a day or two.
228.
God bless you. 228, yeah. All right.
Thank you, and where am I calling to right now?
This is our radio program called Revealing the Truth About Islam. Usama Dakdak is the gentleman you were speaking to. I'm the co-host and producer of this program called Revealing the Truth About Islam. We talk about end times and all of these things because they all kind of tie in together. So, Deborah, thank you for your call. God bless you, sister. And
thank you, and God bless you for the work that both of you are doing to reveal.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. God bless. You can still listen if you want to by phone, but I'm going to take you off the mic, okay?
Okay. I am going to be listening.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. God bless you. Bye-bye. All right, Usama, we didn't necessarily expect that call, but it was good. Kind of confirmed
Amen.
So many things that we've been talking about, things going on in Minnesota, and you've been spending quite a lot of your time and energy doing ministry in Minnesota. We know our sister, and like she said, maybe this was just a divine appointment. She doesn't even know how she got tuned in, so I'm thankful. All right.
All right.
Okay. Usama, what's that?
What do you have next for us?
Okay, well, I wanted to share a little bit of the events that are going on here recently, and some of them relate directly to stuff that's happening in the United States. Critically important, and again, one of the sources that is causing anger across the country, is that we have men and women, many of them Christians, all of them, I believe, patriots, who got arrested on January 6th. You know, Usama, we talked about how people in the United States should stand up and, you know, make their voices heard and speak the truth. And the fact that hundreds of thousands of people had gone to Washington, D.C., not just once, but twice. And the interesting thing is that the mainstream media covered very little of it. But
sure.
We had resources to see what's going on. Go ahead.
I was there both of these times. Do you know that?
Yes. And the majority of the people were peaceful. There was not any reason to call these people insurrectionists or terrorists. There weren't any weapons. Nobody had any weapons there. The mainstream media has characterized these things in a very evil way. And people who have been arrested have been incarcerated since January, some of them. This has been months. And it's like when you slander someone's name and their reputation, and you say that they deserve to be in prison, it's like all of the people that you and I would think deserve to be in prison, like people who burned down businesses, who destroyed their own cities in some cases, and maybe they went to other people's cities during these riots of the Antifa and BLM protests. They were not protests, they were riots. When people's businesses are destroyed and there's fires being burned and people shot. Do you remember the little young 8-year-old girl? They were trying to go through a drive-through restaurant and she got shot and killed in her mother's car.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But they never called these individuals
no.
Any name of criminal activity. In fact, most of them
mm-hmm.
suffered no consequences. Yet
yep.
people who went to Washington, D.C. to express their concerns about the election are still being held in jail. And by the way, our vice president, Kamala Harris, helped raise money to get people who were arrested on criminal charges, because there were some, released from prison. And at least in two or three cases that actually managed to make it into the news, these individuals, in one case, raped a woman, and in another case, killed another individual. And right now in America, it's like you cannot trust anything you're being told in the mainstream media. So I want to mention this for anybody who hasn't heard it, and I put them up in the slideshow. Watch OAN, OAN is One American News. Watch Real America's Voice or America's Voice News. They're the same channel. Watch Frank Speech, broadcast station that's on the internet that Mike Lindell put up there. You've got to find alternative sources of information. Worthy News, I look at that every week. It's a reliable source of information gathered from all over the world, different sources, but this is a Christian organization that is reaching out to do ministry to Christian and Jews around the world. I put all these things up there for the very reason that Deb was talking about. It is so not just depressing to watch the mainstream news, including Fox, but it is also extremely deceptive. So I just, you know, I wanted to say, people think I'm crazy because I keep talking about this stuff, but here's the thing. Matthew 24, 4 through 9, I'm going to read it. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. This is an age of deception. I quit Fox News. I don't watch them once in a while. I'll see on the internet something Tucker Carlson's done or someone else. But for the most part, I've just said, I don't want to sort through who's telling the truth and who's lying. I just want to know that the people I'm watching, I can rely on what they're saying. And I can, and they'll give you resources and back up what they're saying, and you can check it out. That's what I believe American people want. So anyway, let me read this. Take heed no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now, this research on Christ, this is not Jesus' name. His name is not Jesus Christ. You correct me if I'm wrong, Usama. But Christ is a name, is a title, right? It means the anointed one.
The anointed one, as we read it in the in our text, in the Arabic language, is the word Al-Masih. Not Masih, not just Christ, but the Christ. So I don't know. We just I was talking to Sister Christy tonight, Chris, about that. And I said in my writing my program, actually, and the other wonderful sister who's helping me to record some programs for VCY America. And I said, when you say Jesus Christ, well, every king is a Christ. Well, because anybody anointed as a king with the oil, like everybody anointed Saul, and then he anointed David. Say David is Christ, Saul is Christ, but our Lord and our Savior Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one, capital O,
right,
in E. We are put it right in English. And that makes a difference,
right,
between Jesus and right, every other person. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, but in this sentence, it's saying they are going to claim they are the anointed one. They're going to claim they were anointed. They're called.
Sure.
We have many people doing that today. They'll tell you, I am anointed and shall deceive many. This is what we have. All kinds of people who are claiming that they have insight,
yeah,
that they are doing good things for our country, that they're the ones who should make the decisions because you and I, we're too stupid to do it. You know, this is the words that come from dictators. The Lord's not talking about Jesus here. He's talking about those claiming to have the power and the anointing to tell you what to do. And so here is the verse. Again, I'll read it. This is verse 5 from Matthew 24. For many shall come in my name. Yes, many of them even use the name of Jesus and quote scripture to you, saying, I am Christ, or I am anointed, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and this literally means ethnos against ethnos. It's really talking about racial strife here. And kingdom against kingdom, that's talking about political stuff. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. This is the next verse. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Verse 9, take heed to this. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. If you are a Christian, these are Jesus' words. We need to take heed. We need to pray for one another. We already see these things happening. We see these things happening. We can't be foolish. But God is telling us that we should not be troubled. We have to put our faith in him. We have to trust him. And I appreciate what Deborah was saying when she said all the things she'd been through, she realized what's important is to love Jesus. And that's an important thing. Get close to the Lord, because that is what is going to preserve us, our relationship with him.
Well, Christy, I don't know when you're going to give me a few minutes to play one beautiful
Christian. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's
Amen.
Do it.
Yes. We're going to do it right now.
We need
right
a good
now,
song now.
And you guys, if you have a special song, you can call and we'll play it for you. I'm telling you, we got the best musician in the world. Sister Chris is like, wow. You just can listen to her playing. And God is good. I'm blessed to have her as a dear mama to me. And she's going to right now sitting on her piano. So I'm going to take my mic from the speaker to Norma so it does not make too much noises. And we'll see what the Lord is going to put on her heart to play for us. Do you know what song you're going to play for us, Sister Chris? Jesus Loves Me. Wow. Jesus Loves Me. That's an awesome song. I love it. I love it. I love it. Let's go for it. Jesus Loves Me, ladies and gentlemen.
Jesus Loves Me.
Thank you, Christy. I appreciate that song, Jesus Loves Me, Christy from Wild Rose. give her a wild rose, you come and hear her play. Believe me, you can sit and listen to her for hours. And a little bit later, we're going to hear one more song from her. So I don't know what song she's going to be playing for us next. If you have a special song you want to hear, believe me, she is a quite a woman. Play like Beethoven. I think she actually can compete with others like Beethoven. Well, Christy, mic is yours.
All right. Well, the next thing that I wanted to share and talk about, because, again, there are so many things that we need to be praying about, and, of course, talking about the gathering in Washington, D.C., on behalf of those who are still imprisoned over the January 6th protest. It wasn't a riot. It wasn't an insurrection. It was a protest. And a rally and a protest, okay? But what else? It shows you the disregard that the current government officials have for Christians and for patriots. But what about what happened in Afghanistan? I, as a Christian, I, as an American citizen, born here, raised here, cannot believe what happened in Afghanistan when the President of the United States, the man who claims that office, pulled all of our military out, turned our weapons and our air base over to a terrorist group, the Taliban, and left the fate of Americans and Christians in the hands of the Taliban. That is something I never imagined could happen. And we know there are Americans there, and we know there are Christians being persecuted there. And I heard a story recently of a woman who reports direct knowledge of at least 15 former military people who are trying to get out of Afghanistan. They are American citizens. They were in the military. There's several women and men. And because they retired out of the military or their service ended, they determined to stay in Afghanistan to perform other work. Other work, because there was a lot of things going on. Americans were operating different businesses and helping in other ways, including ministry and social work in Afghanistan. So these people stayed there for 8 or 9 months after they discharged from the military. They have left those people there. $150,000 the Taliban demanded to allow those people to get on a plane. Now they're in hiding. And the Taliban is saying they have to pay another $150,000 to be able to get on a plane and get out of Afghanistan. Our American government is doing nothing for them and said they're going to have to pay it because they're not in the military anymore. Usama, what do you think about that?
Well, here is the truth. That shows you the real nature of our government right now. They're a bunch of betrayers. They are not. You say he is the president. I would never call him a president. It's been months.
He's claiming it, right?
He's claiming. But they're thieves. They're criminal. They should be behind bars. And for some of the crimes committed, like Biden commit and his general after him, these people should take to martial court. They should be found guilty and shot by both, as I said last week, program, and being killed. If this is committed by Trump, all the Democrats right now be shouting death, not impeachment. They impeach him for nothing. They lie and they make a game, they make a story and they impeach him, not once but twice. But if Trump did what Biden did with Afghanistan, he'll be taken to the military court and found guilty and fire squad, whatever you call it. I don't know what the language is here. And 7 or 8 soldiers with guns shoot him in his head and he's dead. But not one Republican ever said that. That man committed crime worthy to be put to death, but he's going to be he's a hero now. He's like a hero of the Democrats.
Well,
that makes me mad that last time. I don't want to get to it. I don't want to get into it, Christy. Let me get out of it. Okay.
But,
I got myself into the game to be upset again. Go ahead.
I know. So I'm trying to say the Republicans, like Marjorie Taylor Greene, are trying to bring up charges of impeachment against Biden even before this happened.
You say impeachment, Christy.
I know what you said, but
to find guilty and be shot and killed.
I heard what you said. If you can let me finish, because you've made it clear those are your feelings. The law, and I'm trying to explain another point, has nothing to do with killing people or firing squads or anything. I'm saying Marjorie Taylor Greene was trying and has been trying, her and Matt Gaetz, to bring impeachment charges against Biden before any of this happened, okay? Before this happened in Afghanistan. And even now that this has happened, talk about people being tried in a military court. It's not going to happen. You can't get the Republicans to even file impeachment against Biden for what he's done. That is my point.
Exactly.
But to say, well, they need to do this, they need to do that, well, that's nice, but they're not doing it. But what the Republicans at least should do is back up, get together, and file impeachment charges against Biden. That is at least the minimal that the Republican should be doing. But they're not even doing that.
That
so you can forget the other thing.
Yeah,
but you also have to remember that keep praying, because there is something that's going to stop these liberals and Democrats. If you can pray that God will bring together enough Republicans and some Democrats to stop these spending bills from going through. Literally, the government could be shutting down by the end of this month. And I hope it is, because everything they want to do involves money. And if you want to know the truth, I believe they have bought. They're not going to charge General Milley. He needs to be charged. This is a man who is the head of the military. And now it's come out in a book by a person that's supposed to be reliable. He's written a number of books. But he says General Milley, and General Milley isn't denying this, literally called China to tell them that if Trump tried to do anything to China, he'd call them and let them know.
Yep.
And then he told his military people, if Trump gives any orders, nobody do anything unless it goes through me. Now, this is another matter, and these people need to be stopped. I don't know if they're paying people off. Wouldn't surprise me. We don't know how they have managed to get people to go along with things that are completely against the Constitution. But one way they did it, Usama, and it goes back to a presentation you put together. I worked on it with you. In 2000, I think the first time it was presented publicly was February of 2010, Freedom or Surrender, where it was a follow-up to a previous presentation you had done revealing the truth about Barack Hussein Obama, about how and why we knew he was a Muslim man. And Freedom or Surrender followed up on what all he had done to bring Muslims into powerful positions in the government, how all of the things that he had done to undermine America's position in the world, You want to tell us about what Obama did just briefly when he went to Egypt, the first trips that he took to Egypt? He'd already done that.
When
he made it.
So,
go ahead.
You're talking about when Mr. Barack Hussein Obama spoke for the did the big speech in the Azhar University and brought the Muslim Brotherhood to hear him speaking. I want to make sure that I don't know what you want me to talk about because there's so much you talk about there. What are you?
I know, and I want you to just keep it short. But how when he went there, within the first few sentences he said, he told those people something. That the American people didn't know.
First of all,
his word,
his speech,
his greeting.
Yeah, his first speech was the word "Assalamu alaikum." Now, guys, every speaker spoke in Egypt. We talk about all the Egyptian, all the Muslim imams, or the muftis, everybody. When they say "Assalamu alaikum," the people would say "Wa alaikum assalam." That's the end of it. Now, when Obama said "Assalamu alaikum," the clapping of the hands, the shouting "Allahu Akbar," everybody was celebrating, dancing all over the auditorium. Why? Because he was just telling them, "I am your man. I am the Muslim man. I'm yours." Now, he's giving the speech 5 verses from the Quran. None of them were accurate. None of them were accurate in the English translation. And you're talking about, I'm a 52 years old man. I heard the Quran all my life. I hear it all my life. Never once by any Muslim in the world ever who's read a verse from the Quran or the whole entire chapter of the Quran or the entire Quran, not once, somebody clap hand and shout "Allahu Akbar." Now, Obama said, the Holy Quran says 5 times, and they're shouting "Allahu Akbar," clapping hand, dancing up. And you know what is that?
Yes.
I'm your man. I'm a Muslim man.
Yes.
And he said so much stuff exposing himself to the world. And he obviously spoke to the Muslim Brotherhood, promised them to give them Egypt. And that's exactly what he did.
Yes.
That's exactly
And this is when we saw the beginning of the deterioration of Egypt, where we saw the head of Egypt being elected, a Muslim man, the imprisonment of, what's his name? I'm sorry, slipped my mind. The president of Egypt. Before
President
Mohammed
Mubarak, Muhammad Hosni Mubarak.
We saw him go to prison. We saw all kinds of stuff happen in Egypt. There was, a whole change in the world. So the reason I wanted to mention this, if you haven't seen that presentation, Freedom or Surrender, that is before all of this chaos broke out. Usama had done this presentation. He'd done something in 2008 warning people about having Obama as a president, what it would mean for our country to have a Muslim man as our president. And here's the thing. I don't want to blame Muslims in all of this, but this is the work of the devil. Muslim people do not know Jesus Christ. They don't believe in the God of the Bible. That's one of the things we've done in this show, Usama has done for years, to help people understand that Allah in the Quran is not the God of the Bible. Muslims will tell you that. Many Muslims even believe it. But this is the work of Satan in these last days. So Obama, I believe he's behind the scenes. People may not believe that, but I believe that Biden is taking his direction from Obama. What do you think about that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the years will come, Christy, and people will hear it once again from us. And we will say to them, like all I've been saying for the last 20 years about Islam in America, when I started this full-time ministry, I said, I'm telling you, listen, it is the truth. You're not going to hear it somewhere else. Trust me, it's coming. You know what's amazing? Now, some of the people who have been listening to me 20 years ago said, we got it, Brother Usama. You were right there then, you're right now, and we are getting it. But sadly, many other people just fell in the state of denial. You don't see anything wrong with it. So,
well, one of the things that I was looking at this week, and it's a sad thing, but the scriptures also tell us that before Jesus returns, there will come a falling away. That scripture, in my opinion, has been misused to say, oh, that's the rapture. It's a catching away, but it's not. The word translated falling away is the word apostasia. It's apostasy. And as it gets harder to be a Christian, you're going to see people falling away. I don't know how many of you are seeing it in your churches. I hope you're not. But there are people that it's too hard right now to deal with being a Christian. If it's routines that you have to go to, if being a Christian is, geez, I got to do this and I got to do that, and gee whiz, I got so many problems and there's COVID and da-da-da. If that's all Christianity is, it's just a routine that you do, you're going to quit it. And there are people that are quitting it. I hope there are people that are getting saved, though, because this is a time when people have serious needs, like we talked about earlier, hurricanes, COVID, disease, war, Americans trapped in Afghanistan, Christians who have left Islam and are trapped in Afghanistan. Their lives are at risk every minute, 24/7. What's the penalty if you leave Islam, Yasona?
The war of apostasy is declared by Allah and Muhammad and is Muslim practiced for the last 1,400 years. You leave Islam, you're dead. You leave Islam, you're dead. It's actually taught today in America in the English language by a Muslim scholar, Muslim theologian, in the book of Zarelah, the Traveler. It's all there. You leave Islam, it's the worst sin you can ever commit. And the punishment is punishable by death. End of story. There's no second thought for it.
You know, and so this is, again, a reason we need to be praying for the church around the world, because as America looks weak, this does not help our allies. It doesn't help those people who are looking at America as their hope and their protection. How things have changed since Biden took office. Osama likes to call him O Biden. I know why, because seriously, he's just continuing the destructive work that Barack Obama started. It's like Obama said he wanted a third term and he wouldn't mind having a puppet. Did any of you ever think that Joe Biden, with his obvious perceived problems that he's having, anybody ever think of him as a puppet? Yeah, a lot of us have thought that. So, but God is greater. We keep praying, and not just praying, but share the gospel, because you got a bunch of Muslim refugees that are coming to America, and the best thing that could happen for them is that they come to America and the power of the Christian ministry in this country is great enough to reach them for Jesus Christ. If they got saved, if they were saved and knew who Jesus was, they could share with others in America. It's easier to be converted from Islam. It's a lot easier. We know Christians here who were Muslims. You have friends who were Muslims who are now Christians, and they want to reach others for Christ. Maybe we could see a revival even among those people. What do you think, Osama? Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
What do you think about that?
About what?
Okay.
I'm lost a little bit.
I know. I'm sorry. I said, we are seeing that there are many Muslims coming to America. And yes, we could be very fearful of that and would have good reason. But with all of these people coming from Afghanistan, if there was a powerful ministry to them and they could become believers in Christ, at least here in America, they would have a greater chance to be okay and find Jesus. God could turn this thing for good, and there could be a revival among those people because they are here in America. What do you think about that?
Christy, you have the positive side of it, and the positive side of it for Muslims to come to America, and we, the Christian America, share the gospel with them and fulfill the Great Commission in the short distance, because I believe the Great Commission is for us to go to Afghanistan and share the gospel with the Afghani there. And now they're coming to America, so we have a golden opportunity to meet them here. But guess what, Christy? Let's be realistic. Let's be realistic. How many churches in America, how many pastors in the Church of America read the Quran, understand Islam, they know how to minister to the Muslim people, they know how to share the gospel with the Muslims? Zero. I'm sorry to say that. Let me say it again. The answer is zero. How many of the Muslims coming from Afghanistan, they are the members of Taliban, who they will never be turned to Jesus, unless, so obviously, the Lord performed miracle, and they're here for one reason and one reason only, to revenge, to retaliate for all the blood the American people shed of their family members, their uncles, their aunts, their brothers, their relatives, even the innocent one in their the civilian people in their homes, and for their jihad blood, boiling blood in their veins, lynching. You cannot vet them. So you can be in a positive attitude and say, hey, we're going to have a golden opportunity. We can share the gospel with these people. Well, I was in Minnesota 3 weeks ago, and I went to St. Cloud, one of the many cities of Minnesota which are looted by Muslims. There are 16,000 Muslim Somali live in St. Cloud. Literally a quarter of the community, a quarter of the people live there are Muslim Somali. That's the number I heard from many people there, unless they're all wrong. How many of these Muslim Somali have we led to the Lord in the last 25, 30 years since they started coming to Minnesota? None. Not even one. Show me a Christian family, Somali, who got became a Christian, Muslim Somali in Minnesota became a Christian in the last 20-some years. None.
Usama, I'm trying to talk about what God would have us do. Okay, I am not putting a happy, smiley face light on things. I know how bad it is. I know Christians haven't been doing their job. I've been talking about this issue, problem, before I even met you, right? Not about Islam, but just about the failure of the church to reach the lost. I used to be doing ministry to people who were on drugs, people who were homeless, people who were mentally ill, people who had all kinds of personal problems, social problems, moral problems. And I couldn't understand why the church was never available to help these people. So I've been talking about it for many years. I am not putting a happy face on what I'm saying. I'm talking about what God would have us do. And I don't think you disagree with me.
No,
I think you agree with me. That's what God would have us do.
With you. If we will allow, if we live in obedience to God, first confess our sin for not fulfilling the Great Commission in Afghanistan or in any Muslim around the world, and we will literally on our knees asking God, begging God for forgiveness for not even fulfilling the Great Commission to our neighbors, those who are Americans, non-believers, and the family members in our home, in our own family who are not believers, and then we maybe just start to become true, faithful Christian and share the love of Jesus with every Muslim we'll meet, and we educate ourselves about Islam and prepare ourselves for the great harvest. And trust me, if we do that, America will never be the same. As a matter of fact, Muslims will be leaving America, going back to their countries.
That's right.
If we do it.
That's right.
If we do it.
And that's the point that I wanted to make, Swami. You told me years ago, and I've shared it with other Christians, that when Muslims first started coming to America, when they were first sending their kids to come to colleges in the United States, okay, when they first started having Muslim families come here and settle in American communities, if Christians would have reached out and shared the gospel with them, you told me, and I believe you, that Muslims in these other countries would say, don't send your children to America. They'll become infidels. They'll become Christians. Don't let your children go there. That would have ended the Muslims coming to our country because they wouldn't have wanted their kids to become Christians. But we didn't do that.
Sadly, I can say again, I wish we had even done this when I started talking about that years and years ago, because I believe if the church takes this matter seriously and hold specific training, especially for those who live in communities where there's a lot of Muslims already there, and train some of your people how to witness, how to minister to Muslims, study the Quran for real, get to know the knowledge which you need to equip yourself. Go out of your comfortable zone. Knock at your neighbors, the Muslim neighbors. Share the gospel with them. Lead many of them to Christ. They will share more with their own people, and they will do much better job than you and I can ever do. A Muslim family, a Muslim Somali family, I've been doing now for the last 2 months or so, actually 3 months now, ministry with two couples Somali in England. A man and his wife left Islam, became a Christian, and I'm ministering with them in English, and they translate everything I say to the Somali language week by week. It's a good 2 hours I spend with them, the best 2 hours I spend with them every Friday. Mm-hmm. And now these Muslims are ministering to their Muslim people of Somalia. And trust me, Christy, I would never be able to compete or declare that I'm qualified to minister to the Somali people better than any Muslim Somali who saw the light of the gospel, who became a Christian. The best people to minister to the lost people are the people who live in this culture, in the language, in the community. I could not talk in the Somali language. I do not know anything about Somali life. But these couples, husband and wife, they know exactly what they're doing. So can you imagine me, if we just get out of our laziness and start ministering to the lost Muslims in our community, if there are some from Pakistan, some from Afghanistan, some from Bangladesh, some from Indonesia, and we got all Muslims in America today, Somali, Kenyan, Egyptian, and if you minister to these lost Muslims and lead few family to Christ, they can finish the job for you while you're comfortably sitting in your own living room praying for them.
You know what? Yes, you know what, Usama, that's what I was saying. There are Muslims that you know who have become Christians who are reaching out to their own people. We know several Iranians who have become Christians. Sharam Shadian was mentioned earlier. And we have several friends, Muhammad Faridi and Annie Cyrus, several. There are others who are Christian. They have a greater ability to reach other Muslims. So it isn't hopeless, and that's all I'm trying to say. If God's people will do what they're supposed to do, it isn't hopeless. And maybe you don't have a Muslim neighbor. But you know what? If you have a neighbor who doesn't know Jesus, you would be surprised. They may know Muslims that they can speak to, even if they're not Muslim. I've had this happen many times, Usama, where I'm speaking to someone and I'll ask them a little bit what they know about Islam. Maybe they tell me they're a Christian. But they have family members who are Muslim, and they'll tell me, my so-and-so is Muslim, or my so-and-so married a Muslim. So, you see, there is this network. God already knows. There isn't anyone that God has not called. There isn't anybody who truly knows Jesus that is not called to share the gospel with others. That is a calling on every Christian life.
Mm-hmm.
But you see,
mm-hmm.
they're not checking
ahead,
it out. No, you have
mm-hmm.
to check
mm-hmm.
it out. Go out there
sure.
and see what God has for you. Because I'm going to tell you, these big churches, many of them are already so compromised because they've lied about Islam, they don't know Islam, and they have perverted the gospel to accommodate Muslims. Many large churches have done this. It's going to
yeah.
be up to us as individual Christians.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And Jesus.
And
Jesus.
Many,
and Jesus.
Yeah.
Right?
And it is another fact, Christy. Many of the Muslim men who come to this country, including the thousands who are coming from Afghanistan, many of them are going to be married to an American lady. Trust me. I know this
mm-hmm.
for a fact. Matter of fact, as I've been traveling the last few years now, the biggest movement right now is dating online. American
yes.
ladies
yes.
are dating Muslim men online, and they will
yes.
go to Afghanistan to marry them, and they will go to Bangladesh to marry them, and they will go to Pakistan to marry them, and they will go to Sudan or Egypt. 57 Muslim country men are online 24/7 seeking an American lady to marry her because they know that is a ticket. You cannot go bad with it. It's a winning ticket. It's like you're buying a lottery ticket for a dollar,
yeah.
and you know you're going to get $1 million or $10 million or $100 million out of it. Who will not buy a ticket for a dollar where he knows that it's a winning ticket? That's exactly the game the Muslim men are doing. So if you are ministering to your Muslim neighbors, that's wonderful. Lead them to Christ. If you're Muslim to the American neighbors who are not a believer in Jesus Christ, they're just good Baptist or good Catholic or good Presbyterian or good Lutheran. You're leading. You're saving a family from destruction because maybe that couple you're meeting will mention to, they have a daughter. That daughter will be married to a Muslim
right.
man if you do not lead the mama and the dad to Christ.
I just
last week when I was in Minnesota, I met with a wonderful lady across the street from Brother Kinto, where I was staying with Kinto. You know, I did the program last week
mm-hmm.
from near Chester. So, and I went to this lady and I talked with her. I don't know, just the Lord just led me to go say, hello, how are you doing? And I started ministering to her, talk with her, and 20 minutes later, God bless you, goodbye, and I left. Well, the neighbor and Kinto, they told me, Brother, the neighbor from Kinto, he said, well, that lady I said, is she a believer in Christ? I said, well, like most Christian in America who do not know too much. I said, well, you know, I didn't even know why I talked about liberals. I didn't know why I talked about Biden. I don't know why I talked about the Muslims. I don't know why. And I felt like maybe she was nice to me. She did not want to hurt my feelings. She let me talk for these 15 or 20 minutes. And I left, and I was praying. I hope that I did not offend her because, you know, you say you don't want to offend somebody. You know your neighbor better than me. I'm a stranger in a city. I'm meeting with a lady with her little child, and I'm talking with her, ministering to her, and I have no idea how she's going to take me. But you know what? You do a better job with your neighbors than me because you know your neighbors. But anyway, so I left, and then a little bit later, the following day, I believe, I can't remember, the same day she came by, with bag with cookie in it, beautiful cookies, sweet cookies. And she said, thank you so much. And then she said, I just talked to my mom. And when I told her that you came and you talked with me and you ministered with me, she almost fell off her chair. I said, oh, my world. She fell off the chair because she's talking to an Egyptian Christian. She said, my mom knows you. She listens to you on the radio every day. She lives in Milwaukee area, Wisconsin, and she listens to you every day on VCY. And she could not believe it that I talked with you at the minute to visit with me. I said, wow. So in the beginning, I was excited about talking with her. Yeah,
uh-huh.
And I was nervous, maybe I crossed the line and I hurt her feeling by speaking against the liberals and what's going on in America. And when her neighbor told me she maybe is not a born-again Christian, I believe I said, oh, man, I blow it up. And then she came back with the cookie, tell me about her mom. Then I gave her some of my booklets in my car, and I let her one more time to my website. Please, read this booklet and talk with me. Write to me. If you have any question, I would like to answer you more, and we'll build a relationship here. She said, absolutely.
What a book number 20. What a great time. You can experience that with your neighbors if you just humble yourself and do what's right. Educate yourself about Islam. Educate yourself about our Christian faith. There are so many Christians who are born again Christian, who are believers, but they do not know how to share the gospel with their neighbors. Man, can you imagine? Get some books about how to share your faith with others. Educate yourself and take this knowledge, take these tips, and put them in practice with family members, with your neighbors. Wow. What a great opportunity. If we can lead our neighbors, we're not going to worry about next election. Because trust me, if every Christian conservative in America leads 5 or 10 of his liberal neighbors to Jesus Christ, that would be the best campaign. Whoever is going to run as a Republican will win by 100%, if every one of the conservative believers leads some of the lost liberals to Jesus. Not only they will be saved for eternity, but they will be voting for the right. They will have the guidance of the Holy Spirit. They will be godly people, and they will do what's right. But no, we don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. As I thought, what I felt when I talked to that lady, simply because she's a stranger, I don't know her from Adam. Anyway.
You know, you saw that. That's a very good example of how God's hand is in it. Let me just tell you something. If you are a child of God, he says that you're his hands and feet. So when you go somewhere, you're carrying the Holy Spirit with you. That life that Jesus has given you, that eternal life that's in you, the Lord wants it shared with others. You know, the worst thing that can happen when you talk with someone about Jesus is what? They think you're crazy. They walk away from you, or they tell you to shut up. I mean, what is the worst that happened to Jesus in order to give you that life? What happened to him? Are you telling me that he did all that he did for us, and you're concerned because someone might not like you, or they may think you're rude, or they may think you're crazy? So what? Even if they slapped you, which I don't think most people would do that, you're not suffering anything. It's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I will tell you this about my family. I talk about the Lord all the time. And I've had some things happen to me by my family members. One case, they told me I wasn't allowed in their home unless I didn't talk about God. I wasn't allowed to speak about God in their house. You know?
Mm.
Well, pretty soon, there wasn't any point in me going because that's all I talk about. So I would go and sit there like, well, there's nothing for me to say.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't hurt me. I just had to pray for them more. And then I've had people who have said all kinds of terrible things about me or said you're crazy or they've argued with me or whatever. But you know what? When there's a problem, I'm still there for them. And I've had people who did not want to hear anything from me. And then you never know what life's going to bring. And I'll tell you what, when there's a problem and they know that you're a believer, when they know that you believe and you will pray and you know the Word of God and you know Jesus, guess what? When there's a problem, they'll come to you. And that is your opportunity to show them the power of God. And I had this happen with a neighbor. There's a neighbor here who is going through cancer treatment, and she's having a very difficult time. And several times when I first met her and I asked if I could pray for her, and I prayed with her, and then later when she started going through treatment, she was having problems. I prayed with her several more times. I was calling her the wrong name every time. Finally, I heard another neighbor call her the correct name, and I was so embarrassed. And I said to her, I go, oh, my gosh, your name is, you know, what it was. And she said, yes. And I go, well, I have called you the wrong name every time that you say something.
Yeah,
I said, I am so
funny.
Sorry. But you know something?
Yeah.
When I was praying with her a couple of days ago, another neighbor was there. And I just said, I know you're disappointed. You're not getting better, and there's other things they need to do. I said, can I pray with you? She said, yes. So we prayed again. And the other neighbor, when we got done, she prayed too. She said, amen. And she looked up, and she said, now I know who to talk to if I need prayer. That is how you share.
That's how it works. Absolutely. Absolutely.
You don't know how God's going to use you. And I just... That's just on my heart so much because we're telling people, share the gospel. Know something about Islam. I tell you, you can get information from USAMA on the Straight Way of Grace, the website, the Straight Way of Grace. The straightway.org. The Facebook page is the Straight Way of Grace Ministry. The straightway.org, you can get material, you can get information, the English.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Not just you.
Small booklet.
Just go online. You learn a lot, yes.
Yeah, and realize there's going to be a lot of bad stuff said about USAMA, but I promise you there was a lot of bad stuff said about Jesus. And people have said a lot of bad stuff about me, but you know what? If all men, it says, woe to you, if all men speak well of you. So,
amen.
Thank goodness, USAMA, everybody doesn't speak well of you or me.
Nobody. Hardly anybody speak well of me. But anyway, let's take a quick break here, Christy. I have Sister Chris is going to play for us.
Yes.
These are the days of Elijah. This is one of my favorite songs.
Oh, okay.
And
I
hope you guys know this song. Remember that as God can work through Elijah and through all the prophets, which that song is written, their names are all over that song, he can also use you and I and everybody to do the ministry if we just be faithful to him and be ready, equipped, and ready to do his work. So, Sister Chris is going to be for us. These are the days of Elijah. Amen and amen. The
awesome.
Days of the mighty. Thank you, Sister Christy.
It's a beautiful song. Yeah. And you got to get this straight. The Sister Christy that's playing the music is not me. I'm Christy also.
No, but her name is Chris, not Chris, not Christy.
Yes, but you keep saying Christy, it sounds like. So that's, her name is Crystal?
Sister Chris.
Okay, well, it's
you
not
have,
me. I just want people to know that
I
am not talent.
It will be a mistake. But remember,
yeah.
Everybody's some special friend, so we're doing good.
I know, but I just want people to know that's not me playing. I don't have that gift. But I appreciate her gift. Yeah, because they'd be going, Christy, you played so well. I'm so excited.
Oh.
I didn't know you played. No, I don't. That's not me, but thank you, Sister Crystal. Yes.
Well,
yes.
She actually went up to sleep in her bed. It's 10:30, and I don't know. I don't want to keep her up anymore, so I told her, would you please sing one more song for me? She said, sure. And play
that
one more
awesome.
Song.
That was awesome.
And she
yeah.
did. And that was one of my favorite songs. By the way, if you show up tomorrow at the church, you'll be able to hear Sister Chris. She's going to be singing lots of songs, including that song. It's going to be, we're going to sing the thing tomorrow, Grace Bible Church, Grace Bible Church, 610 Cary Avenue, and that's Wild Rose, Wisconsin. If you feel like coming tomorrow, it's perfect time. Come on in. 3 meetings. We're going to have lunch together, and after the lunch, I have one last meeting, and then we will be finished with this service in that church. And if you are not coming, you just keep me in your prayers, and it will be awesome. Thank you so much.
You know, Usama, I wanted to share a little bit more about ministering to Muslims in the slideshow.
Sure.
I have and I put this up every time since the thing with Afghanistan, and they're bringing these grown men, not young men, we're talking older men, with these child brides. And I have a picture in the slideshow of 2 little girls, and you can tell that both of them have been beaten very severely around their faces and their arms and their hands. And these pictures we used to see a lot on the internet of these women and children who've been brutalized by their Muslim families. But it's hard to find those pictures anymore. But I put this up every time because people need to know, when you minister to Muslims, they may not want to hear what you have to say, but we've had testimonies from Muslims who talk about how miserable their lives are as Muslims. And if you look at these little girls, I'm telling you, wouldn't you want for them to come to know Jesus? And maybe even the man who did this to these kids to be changed, for them to be transformed by the power of God, to not be people who would brutalize women and children the way women and children are brutalized in Islam. So that's just another thing to pray about. Yes, there's Taliban. Yes, there are dangerous people that are coming into our country, jihadists, terrorists. We have no way to know who they are. But there's also these little kids. There's also these women who are also victims of Islam. The Muslims are victim number one, as you always say. And the rest of the world is victim number two. So. Usama,
yes,
are you still there?
Yeah. Yes, I'm here. I'm here. I'm listening to you, and I'm just thinking about some of the pictures which we have in our presentation, revealing the truth about Islam. The first presentation I ever put together, where you see that old man in the country of Yemen. I guess he was in his late 70s,
yes.
early 80s, married
mm-hmm.
to, if I have the best, I guess, maybe 10 years old, 11 years old.
Yeah,
I doubt
little
she's
girl.
Older than 12, little girl. And you think about it, how in the world a society will allow
an old man in his 70s to marry a child, a little baby girl. But guess what? This is the son of Muhammad. This is how Muslims lived for the last 1,400 years. By the way, the same people drink camel urine for medicine. They don't, they won't take the medicine for corona. They drink camel urine for medicine. So that's who they are. You can't change that. Let the Lord work on their life.
Well, you won't change it by, but you can't change Nancy Pelosi without the power of God. You're not going to change a Muslim without the power of God.
Absolutely.
The truth is that they do these things because this is what Muhammad did and what he taught. And I have the slide of that. I love this from your presentation on Jesus and Muhammad, and it tells you what Jesus did. And on the other side, it tells you what Muhammad did and what he taught. And so this comparison between Jesus and Muhammad is very important. If you haven't looked at the slideshow, you can still go to the same link and see the slideshow, because this is a really important slide. The difference between Jesus and Muhammad. And that is what you see, the life of a Muslim, the life of, and we've had testimonies of people who were just gave up on life, ready to commit suicide, just hoping to die because their life as Muslims was so miserable. And then the Lord touched them. That has happened. We know people. That has happened when they've decided to give up on Islam or give up on Muhammad, give up on Allah.
Yep.
Give those things up and get a hold of Jesus instead.
Amen.
That's what changes people's lives.
Amen.
Usama, there was an interesting, I'm just going to share an interesting post because I put this in the slideshow just for interest. This is a river, Lake Motro, between these other lakes in Central Africa. It's not far from the Red Sea. And it's really crazy because the water has turned red and nobody knows quite why. It's not normally a red color, but that's why I put that picture up there. It was reported in the Jerusalem Post. And they're trying to investigate why this lake has turned red. It doesn't seem like a good thing, you know, but anyway, they're going to investigate that. That's why I put that picture up there. I just thought it was interesting. Anyway, go ahead, Usama.
So, yeah, I was at Brother Gary Furland. I was actually in his van, and he had this book about wondrous things around the world. And if you know Gary Furland, that's what he is about. He put a big museum in his house. No, not in his house. Building his house. And the museum is getting bigger and bigger. And he's been having tours of schools and churches and people like that. They come in to check his museum out. And in that book also, there's a big lake. And it is a reddish lake. And they said the reason this happened is, I think they have some planet in it. The planet making the lake that color. If I remember that exactly, look at the magazine. Could it be something like that?
Well, it could be, but they said they're not sure if it's some type of a mineral that's gotten into the water, but it's just a very odd color, and it isn't normally this color, so obviously something has gotten into the water that's causing that appearance. It's just really odd to see it. But, you know, the Lord tells us there'll be a lot of different signs, and we're seeing so many of them, earthquakes, pestilences. Has anybody heard about a plague, pestilence, pandemic going around the world? And then we have disasters. But you know what? Disasters, Usama, of all kinds that we're seeing, you know, you can disagree with me on this. We don't see eye to eye on everything, but I don't believe God allows these things because he's punishing people. I believe he allows these things because they're consequences of people not knowing the Lord. And these things are to cause people to come to repentance. What is your thought on that, Usama?
I think the Lord has a million ways to talk to us. He has a million ways to catch our attention. If you think about earthquakes and the hurricane and the tornadoes and the floods and the fires and all these things, just the judgment of God on us, we all deserve it. We should be dead long time ago. I believe God can use all these things also to catch some people's attention because it is a call for repentance. Even whenever somebody dies, a lot of funerals. For one thing and one thing only, because in funeral service, if it's done right in a Christian atmosphere, it is a second chance for people both who died, for the people still alive to realize the reality. Someday I will be in that casket. Someday that service will be about me, and I want. When I do, if I get ever involved in funeral service, and I have done a few of them in my past, or even marriage. I only done maybe 4 or 5 weddings in my life, and because that's not my ministry. I'm not called to be a pastor and perform weddings. I wish you can type later, Christy. And if we can do these weddings and we don't present the true wedding between Jesus and the church, then we're missing a golden opportunity. And if we have a funeral service and we don't talk about eternity, you could be next. It could be me in this casket, and this is my funeral service. Man, what a golden opportunity. So no matter anything unusual happens, wedding or funeral, crisis, whatever things happen, we should, as believers, take advantage of it and use it to build awareness to people that, thank God, it's not me in the crisis, or thank God, he's getting married here. But you know what? There is a greater wedding. There is a greater one, because that marriage here, the union between this man and that woman, is a small picture to the true huge wedding, as the Apostle Paul wrote to us. He's talking about the church and Christ. Even though we're talking about a man leave his father and unite with his wife and become one flesh. Yes, God can use all these things for his own good. Second chance is very important, because tomorrow, as a church where I'll be speaking, I'll be talking about Jonah. I have not done Jonah many times in the past, one of the studies which I have as a PowerPoint. But the greatest lesson for studying the story of Jonah in the Quran is this. Muhammad does not know what he's talking about. Muhammad heard a story about a man by the name Yunan, whom he changed his name in the Arabic language and make him Yunus. And the story is wholly corruption, Paul was errors. Paul was corruption because Muhammad did not have access to the true biblical account in these 4 small chapters in the Bible. But the great lesson from the Bible that God is the God of second chances. Not only second chances for Jonah, who disobeyed him and he deserved to be crushed inside the big fish and being gone with, done with, but God kept him alive because he still want to use him to reach out to the people of Nineveh, who are the second group who have the second chances. So Jonah has the second chance. People of Nineveh have the second chance. And boy, oh boy, revival took place in the country of Nineveh. Have we lived it for Jonah? None of these people, not the king, not the people, will have this time of repentance, time of fasting, time of praying, time for turning around. And if God can do it in Jonah's life with the Gentiles, who the people of Israel do not like. They want them dead, the last one of them. God can do the same in America. God can do the same in your life and my life. If we would just give God the second chance to use us, to reach with us with another chance for those whom we will be ministered to. And believe me, as it was in the days of the old prophet Ezekiel and Elisha and Moses, and that song we just sing. Bones, the dry bones can come back to life. The dry bones can gather together with flesh and cover with muscles and cover with skin, and you have life. America is not yet dry bones. There are still people like the people of Nineveh who do not know the God of the Bible or the second man. Let's give God a chance to work on life by just doing what is right and see a revival in America. I believe it could happen, but it's not going to happen to all America. That could happen, but not to all the Muslims. I'm not saying, but because I believe the sole reason why Jesus did not come back, because the Bible says so. Peter said, do not think that Jesus did not come back because he's lacking, he's gone lazy. He's waiting, Jesus waiting for one more person to repent. There are still a few more people in America who must repent, must convert to Christ, from whatever background, Muslim, Catholic, Baptist, or whatever. There are people who are Christian in name only. There are lost people like the people of Nineveh in America, the Muslims of America. And if they just hear the gospel, they will get saved and they will have the second chance. We're in it. We can have revival in the church in America. Revival in my life. If nobody else even will do what's right, I will do what's right, that God would change my life to make me the man he wants me to be. Amen?
Amen. Amen. I agree 100%, Usama. And that brings me to share that Usama also has two small booklets, that one of them, and I was just going to share it before you start talking, so that's perfect. The Straight Way to Eternal Life. This is a guide to leading Muslims to Christ. It gives you examples from the Quran that you can share. And this little green booklet, I'm sure Usama will have it with him. You can also get it from thestraightway.org. The other one, which many people wanted, was the book out called The Violent Truth About Islam. And it's also very powerful, not only for Muslims to know, but for Christians to understand what is wrong with Islam and why it is so miserable and why it has nothing to do with Christianity. But it's very important to understand that. And so The Straight Way to Eternal Life and The Violent Truth About Islam, both of those are small booklets. You can sit down and read them in just a matter of a few minutes. But they're very, very helpful. Usama, one of the other things that I wanted to share is that you have been doing this ministry for a very long time, but sometimes people ask how they can support your ministry. And I think, unless I'm crazy, that you all can be supported through Tithely, the app you can put on your phone. And I also have a slide on that so that you can make a contribution to the ministry on your phone. You never like to talk about people supporting your ministry, but people ask how they can do it, and there is an easy way to do it. So if you have questions about that, again, you can check on the website, but it's so easy. I love this because I donate to my church also on the same app. You just have it on your phone, bloop, bloop, bloop. You put your information in, bam, you can pay your tithe or donate to any ministry that's part of it. It's very convenient. Usama, we only have a few more minutes, and I don't know if you had anything else specifically that you wanted to share. I don't want to run over you.
No, that's okay. I think what we can do is, if you don't have anything to share, I can do a little bit teaching, if you don't mind, about Jonah, the study which I'm going to be doing tomorrow in the church. When we talk about Jonah, we're talking about a true biblical account I remember one time I was talking to a minister in some church. I don't have to say what church, what minister. And I was actually writing my book, which is exposing the truth about the Quran, the revelation of error. And that minister, I was talking to him. I said, hey, I'm working on a new book. And I just, you know, just started a conversation. I didn't even know where I'm going with it. But obviously, later I found out what the Lord was doing. So I was in Jefferson City, the capital of Missouri, with a friend of mine. He had a meeting, 3 hours. I said, yeah, I walk around. I walk around and find a church. I go into the church. I want to talk to the minister. The minister came. I started talking with him, and I told him who I am, what about the ministry. And I said, I'm writing my book, and I'm right now in the story of Jonah, which was true. I was working on that portion of the book. And he said to me, well, the parable of Jonah is a great parable. It's a good story where we learn from it many lessons. I said, excuse me, what? He said, the parable of Jonah. I said, no, Jonah is not a parable. Jonah is not a story. Jonah is a real account which took place. It happened. He said, no, it's not. And I said, excuse me, what do you mean it's not? He said, well, not everything written in the Bible is real. And I said, you mean the account of Jonah is not a real account? He said, no. Why are you rejecting that? He said, because there's no way a man can go inside a fish or whatever, well, whatever you want to call it, and be alive for 3 days and come out. And it's just a lesson, a good parable story. We learn from it, like that God is a God of second chances. And as long as we're alive, here we are on earth, God can still have give us another chance to do what's right. And I was shocked. That's a huge church. They have a school there. New children, generation and generations will come out of that school, and they're teaching them, obviously, if that's what he believed, that Jonah is just a story. It's a parable, like many of the parables of the Bible. And I said, well, I thought you believe in miracles. He said, yes, we believe in miracles. God can perform miracles. And he did in the past. And I said, why can't you take this as a miracle? What's so hard for God to make a man go inside the fish and stay for 3 days and come out alive, and he will go and minister to people and people get saved? He said, no, but in that case, it's just a story. I said, don't you know that Jesus quoted Jonah? And he said, yeah. And I said, don't you know, if you believe Jonah's account is just a story, a parable, that means Jesus is lying? He said, no. I said, wait a minute. Jesus said, as Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights, so is the Son of Man. If you're trying to tell me that the account of Jonah in the Bible is just a story, a parable, a good listen, we learned something from it about second chances, that means Jesus coming to this world, dying on the cross, buried in the tomb, for 3 days and 3 nights, as it was in the case of Jonah, it's just a story, a parable. Something we can learn from it, a lesson that God loves us, and maybe God can do this thing about the cross and the death and the burial and resurrection. And I looked at this gentleman's face, and I could not believe it. He said to me, wow. That gentleman, ladies and gentlemen, I guess he was late 70s, is an old minister. He said, for the first time, covered, I was wrong. For the first time, I'm realizing that, wow, Jonah is not just a parable. He said, all my life, I thought and I believed and I thought that Jonah is just a parable, second chances. But now I see it for the first time, that Jonah is not just a story, it's a real. Now, a real story, which we call it an account in the Bible, took place, and we can open the map and we see where it took place. If you know geography, you will know where is Nineveh, you know where is Tarshish, you know about these people. As a matter of fact, if you go back to the days of Jonah, you find that this true account, you can investigate it and find it's not just a story written in the Bible. And it is used by Jesus. And so now we have archaeological evidence to say that there is Nineveh, there is Tarshish,
and Jonah, that man had been in the plan because Tarshish later was destroyed. Okay? Sorry, Nineveh, the city of Nineveh later was destroyed, which is a big city, huge city. Now, Muhammad wrote the story in the Quran, ladies and gentlemen, logic or common sense. Well, I'm going to tell you here that Muhammad mentioned Jonah's name all over the Quran in many chapters. As a matter of fact, first he mentioned it in Quran chapter 4, verse 163. Muhammad talked about it in the Hadith, by the way. He mentioned it in Quran 4, 163. He mentioned it in Quran chapter 10, verse 98. He mentioned it in Quran chapter 21, 87. He mentioned it in Quran chapter 68, verse 48. And he mentioned it as a real story. All these stories before, just one word here, one word there. His name is just mentioned. But he mentions the entire story in Quran chapter 67. In literally beginning from verse 139, 140, 141, 142, 143, 144, 145, 146, 147, and 148. And that is the end of the story. Few words. Less than one quarter or first of first chapter in the Jonah account of the Bible. And I'm not gonna yeah, I don't have time to get through it all the way, but I'm gonna tell you what he said. All what he said is this: surely Jonah or Eunice was among those who was sent. Sent to who? We don't know. Sent by whom? We don't know. What was his message? We have no idea. That is in verse 139. In verse 140 of Quran chapter 57, Allah said, when he fled in a laden ship. Why he fled, we do not know. To whom he fled, we do not know. What was the story, we have no clue. In verse 37, in chapter 37, verse 141. See, he cast a lot. So he was one of the losers. Why he cast lot? Was he gambling on the ship? Was he... I mean, when he cast lots, it could be a million things. We have no idea why he cast lots, to whom he cast lots was. He was a loser. How much he lost, we have no idea. We'll move on to the next verse, 142 of Quran 37. So the whale swallowed him, and he was blamed. Where did the whale come from? Where did the whale went through? Why he was inside the whale? How in the world he was inside the ship gambling, and he lost whatever he lost, and how in the world he ended in the well? Did the ship broke apart? Did the people got mad at him because he cheated while he was gambling, and they threw off the ship like they do in the old movies in America, and that's how the well was able to capture him, to swallow him? We have no idea. Listen to verse 143. Allah in the front said, so if he was not of those who sing to us, he was singing. What he was singing, did he somehow was able to get to some stage or some church, some auditorium, and he started singing? What did he sing? What song did he sing? We have no idea. Verse 144. Then he would have stayed in its valley until the day they are raised. Oh, so he was singing inside the valley of the well. And if he did not sing to Allah or to whomever he was singing inside the belly of the well, then he would kill us alive today inside the belly of that well or that fish. Wow. Wow. How about verse 145, Quran chapter 37? So we cast him out on the barren shore, and he was sick. Oh, he got sick. Surely he got sick. A man who swallowed the belly of the fish, and he was singing inside, and it took some time. As a matter of fact, when we read the Muslim scholars' interpretation, we find out that some said he was there inside the belly of the fish for 3 days, one said no for a week, and one said no for a month. And those who believe he was inside the belly of the fish for a month, because they said the fish took him in a tour around all the oceans. He was literally going from the Red Sea, the Mediterranean Sea, to the Atlantic Ocean, to the Indian Ocean. It was a long trip, so obviously it took a month. To make the long story short, then Allah said in verse 147, and we sent him to 100,000 or more. Allah does not know how many people live in Nineveh. 100,000 or more. And then he said, so they believe
So we gave them enjoyment for a time. They believe, and we gave them enjoyment for a time. And that was the end of the story of Jonah. We can do it another time, Christy, because obviously we don't have time to really talk about it in depth. And I will share with you the interpretation of the great Muslim scholar Ibn Kathir. And you can't help it but to laugh and laugh and laugh. It's like a comedy. Muhammad did not know much. Ibn Kathir added so much. And we end with another fairy tale in the Quran. Our time is up, Christy. Thank you so much for giving me this 17 minutes to share with our wonderful dear audience about the fabrication or the fabricated story of Yunus, not even the right name in the Arabic language, but because it's supposed to be Yunan in the Quran.
Well, Usama, I hope you have a wonderful day tomorrow and awesome ministry time. And we thank everybody, Ted, who joined us a little bit late, but the program was pretty good, Ted. I hope you get a chance to hear the other part of it. But Usama, thank you for sharing with us the story in the Bible recounting Jonah's experience and the God of second chances. Awesome. In the Bible, it's awesome. In the Quran, it's a little weird.
Amen.
All right. God bless you. Thank you.
God bless you, Christy. Good night.
Good night.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now, perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. Join us each Saturday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam.